I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
General Garland talked to the American people as if he were talking to Bambi's baby brother. It was kind of insulting. The American people may be poorer under President Biden, but they're not stupid. He didn't talk about the fact.
He did not talk about the fact. That, of course, is Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. He said they were not talking about the fact. He simply wanted to pass over everything he could. That's how he evaded the questions that he did. And I don't really know. It's not my, you know, I leave. I promised the Senate I'd have hands off. He has never had his hands off this investigation. Let me put it to you this way. If you were going to do the job correctly, if you were the attorney general, and you really are going to keep your hands off, you're still allowed, and in fact, I would expect you to bring in your prosecutor that's looking at this case from time to time and just say, bring me up to speed. That's all. I'm not going to tell you yes, no, do this, don't do that. I just want to know where we stand. And by we, I don't mean the president. I mean, where do we stand in our inquiry? I think that what we had with Kennedy raising the point here is that you didn't get any facts out of him. You got more of the mealy-mouthed mush that comes from AG Merrick Garland on a constant basis. Constantly sounds like he's got his mouth filled with dried oatmeal, and he can't even begin to figure out how to swallow. I don't know. I know that's personal. Okay. I'm taking my personal hit, so let him bear his for a moment. But I remind you, here we are, September 22nd, 2023. It's a Friday. Glad to have that for you. And the other part, unfortunately, about that is that Congress has already adjourned without passing a bill. We do have some developments on that. I'll come up to it in a moment. But here we are, the second hour of Larry Connors USA. First hour earlier, if you missed it, I strongly encourage you to pull it up on the podcast. You can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com, you'll get every program we put up, both the audio and the video, because we do stream through these programs. You can find the stream and watch if you would like. Some say, that little thing you do at the beginning of the program, that's kind of cheesy, but I like it. I said, well, I thought about it. It might appear to be cheesy, but I like it, and I'm going to continue doing it. It is Larry Connors USA, so there. But I do appreciate it. But you can watch it at News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, or Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or on Rumble. We're available everywhere for you. Then if I say if you miss it, you can always go back and pull it up on the podcast. And when you do, you can subscribe. You can also share with your friends and your enemies. I'd love for you to share it with your enemies. Watch their reaction. Louisiana Senator Kennedy, of course, is not part of the House investigations right now. The Republicans don't have control of the House so far. You know I love that phrase, so far. We don't have control of the House and the Senate so far. We have control of the House. That's why they're carrying out these inquiries. In the Senate, we would never get past Chuck Schumer. We get him out like we did Pelosi, then you could have full inquiry from both houses. But Senator Kennedy's been watching all these proceedings and watching Merrick Garland mealy-mouth his answer to various questions of everything from policy to what should have been done, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, in his folksy humor, Senator Kennedy of the Cajun land of Louisiana has his answer.
the facts. Number one, Mr. Hunter Biden, the president's son, sold influence to companies in countries that hate America, made millions of dollars doing it, and it, at the very least, he sold the appearance that he had influence. Mm-hmm. Number two, he shared that money with some members of his and President Biden's family. Number three, the president was not telling the truth when he said he didn't know anything about this. Number four, in fact, President Biden, we now know, aggressively enabled it. Number five, apparently the Obama administration knew about at least some of this, but they did not stop it. Number six, the White House and the Justice Department, it appears, had the skids greased through an inappropriate plea bargain, but the whistleblowers came forward and they have sort of been the stool sample in the White House's and the Department of Justice's punch bowl here. And final point, I think it's clear to the American people that Mr. Hunter Biden is Fredo. He had to have lots of help to pull this off.
Yeah, in other words, he's not that smart. You ever watch The Godfather? You know who Fredo was. Or you could ask Chris Cuomo. He's often referred to as Fredo when his brother was governor of New York. He didn't like that either. But I love his line, they're kind of the stool sample in the government's punch bowl. And that's true. Now, Kennedy made it clear that when I say all these things, that the facts prove this, 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 and this, it's based on the testimony of the whistleblowers that they've already given under oath and threat of perjury, and the documentation that's been provided. And there is more to come. When we get hold of the actual records, bank records of Hunter Biden, his brother and son, then we're going to have some real evidence. But, of course, the White House is already putting up barriers. Say this is a presidential privilege. And Hunter can claim presidential privilege because President Trump said he was one of my closest advisors. So they'll probably try to do that. Now, I don't know how they're going to slip Jim into it. And the rest of the family members, there are 19 family members tied to various shell companies, at least nine. And Joe Biden was using a fake name on numerous of them. So if you searched for Joe Biden, you weren't going to find Joe Biden. And those, we know there are three fake names. That's what we know of. There'll be a lot more to come, and I can't wait for all of it to be spilled out. Now, one question really, really stood out yesterday. This question actually froze the Attorney General. When you hear the question and his response, you can tell that he's suddenly like, I've been hit by a taser, and I know what a taser feels like. But he looked like he'd been hit by a taser, and he almost certainly, if he didn't commit perjury, he came that close. The question came from Louisiana Congressman Mike Lee.
Have you had personal contact with anyone at FBI headquarters about the Hunter Biden investigation?
I don't recollect the answer to that question, but the FBI works for the Justice Department. It's
I'm sorry. You don't recollect whether you've talked with anybody at FBI headquarters about an investigation of the president's son?
I don't believe that I did.
Do you not think you'd remember if you talked to the FBI about the investigation of the Hunter's son? It wouldn't be a matter of I don't believe I did. I know I did not. But that would catch them in perjury if they've got someone says, yeah, he talked to me. So he's got to worry in the back of his mind, do they have someone that says, I did talk to them? So he's, I don't. And he didn't really even then deny they didn't. He said, I don't recollect my answer, which means is he rephrasing and rethinking in his mind, how did I answer this question previously? I need to be consistent. I don't recollect my answer, which is different than I don't recollect if I talk to them. You see the difference? Well, anyway, to me, that question really stood out. As I pointed out, the House Congress has adjourned for the weekend. No bill passed. But we got word today from McCarthy, House Speaker. He said, I will strip funding for Ukraine out of a Pentagon spending bill after Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, joined the conservatives in blocking the legislation from advancing earlier this week. Yeah, you got the liberals saying, look, McCarthy's trying to hold on his job. Matt Gaetz called him out on the floor. He's worried about Gaetz. He's worried about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Any member of Congress can come to the floor and say, I want to vote on a new speaker, and he could lose his job. But he says, now that she has blocked the legislation, I will remove the $300 million for Ukraine currently in the Pentagon bill and hold a separate vote on that funding. It would be out and voted on by itself, which it should be. They were trying to shovel in and under this. Now, Biden's already indicated, I'm going to take my executive privilege and I will come up with money for Ukraine, telling Zelensky, I'm going to get you more money. Two dozen Republicans came out against more funding for Ukraine already, just as Zelensky arrived in Washington, urging Congress to pass another $24 billion in aid. That would bring our total U.S. support to Ukraine to at least $135 billion. Take half of that and put it into this country. How much better do you think life could be for this nation? Do I say we want to support Ukraine? Yes, but we reached a point where we're not sure where the money's going, who's getting it, the equipment. All of these are issues. Listen to this CNN report.
President Biden is asking Congress for more than $20 billion in emergency aid to support Ukraine. $13 billion would go toward emergency defense aid. The other $8 billion would go toward humanitarian support through the end of the year. The request has support on both sides of the aisle, although some Republicans say they are growing skeptical about the war.
Let me give you an example. A letter written by Senators J.D. Vance, Republican of Ohio, and Congressman Chip Roy, Republican of Texas. Six senators, 23 House lawmakers, wrote a letter to the White House Office of Management and Budget Director, quote, the American people deserve to know where their money has gone to. How's the counteroffensive going? Are Ukrainians any closer to victory than 6 months ago? What is our strategy? What is the president's plan? What does the administration define as victory in Ukraine? For these reasons, and until certainly we receive answers to these questions and others forthcoming, we oppose the additional expenditure for war in Ukraine. Period. Enough is enough to these and future requests. My colleagues and I say no. That is 23 housemakers. In the meantime, you've got an Indiana congresswoman, Spatz. She is from Ukraine. You would think she would be all about giving more money. And in the beginning, I'm sure she was. But she also has realized, because she sees how this government is operating, it's the very government that's invaded her homeland.
People are truly afraid. I just want to make sure if you're not aware that you are. And this is a big problem when people are afraid of their own government. And I'll share some other things. We're talking about justice system. I don't question, you're probably not a bad person. I don't know you, but what I'll tell you, you're in charge of the department. And people right now feel, you know, I look at Durham report and I call on the FISA violations of queries of millions of Americans, right? It's like KGB, but when I read Durham reports, we have this, you have a nice, you know, playbook first, let's have a special counsel, and then you don't have to answer any questions here. Then, let's extend slow walk investigation on Hillary Clinton, on Hunter. Everything is slow walk. We were very quick on Donald Trump, but you were very slow walk. Then, by the time, you know, that investigation ended, statute of limitation expired, and all of your agents need to be tested for amnesia. No one recalls anything.
No one recalls anything. She's talking about A.G. Barrett Garland, saying you're acting like the KGB, and I've been there. I've been under their thumb. I know how they operate when we were part of the Soviet Union. And, of course, now I'm in the U.S., and I have become a citizen, and so I can be a member of Congress. Well, what she's trying to point out, and I think all of us recognize, we're not getting any answers from this government. If we're not going to get these answers from the government, then where are we going to get them? Well, we're not going to get them. And she says, that is why you're like the KGB. And she says, everything you are doing and this administration is doing, and that would include opening the border, letting everybody in without being vetted. We have no idea who's coming into our country right now. She says, everything you're doing is destabilizing America.
A lot of these people are so afraid they cover up this stuff, I think, in your department because they're embarrassed that what we became as a country to say that what our Department of Justice became. That allows Russians to do propaganda in Chinese. It allows them to destabilize our country. That is danger to our republic. It is significant danger. And I have just one more question from you. You know, and I mean, I agree on corporate crimes and FISA stuff, even with Democrats, that we need to do a better job. One more question for you. Do you believe that, you know, you talk about rights to vote, but do you believe that only U.S. citizens should be voting in this election and doing anything to make sure that only eligible people vote in elections?
Yes and yes.
Oh, she actually got two answers out of the guy. Do you believe we should have a free election and only Americans should vote in this election? Yes and yes. That's what he said. And he says that's what he believes, but does he really? She migrated to the U.S. in 2000, then met her husband, and on a train in Europe, became a U.S. citizen, worked her way up from being a bank teller to a CPA, a finance exec, obviously a successful businesswoman, and now an Indiana state senator. And now in the House. She said, growing up in Ukraine molded my conservative political philosophy. Now, this is someone who's been under Russian Marxist rule. Please hear this. For those of you who think that's all great, what we should do more like they should. She said, I learned that limited government is always better. And financial and healthcare decisions should be made by individuals in the free market, not bureaucrats and special interests. And she even gave the benefit of the doubt to A.G. Merrick Garland. You might be a very nice man, but the way you're doing things and the way you set things in motion, people are afraid, and then you say you're going to really investigate, but you don't. You sound just like the KGB. Coming up, Speaker Tim Jones will be joining us, and I'll be glad to have him, and we got a lot of issues to cover. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
I'm gonna run away to duck gun carry, make camp where the land is bare. I'm gonna run away to duck gun carry, ain't no one gonna find me there. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Found trouble in the town I come from, left 6 months ago or so. I had to run from the man I wronged there.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Lock and load, ready on the right. Did you think I forgot it? Of course I didn't. I saved it for right now. For my next guest, their program precedes mine, and always glad and honored to follow them. Speaker Tim Jones, former Speaker of the House, and co-host Christopher Arps, an engaging program. So as I say, they set the table for me. And at this time, I'm glad to welcome the Speaker to the platform with us. Welcome, sir.
Larry, it's an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be on with you today. And as you know, I'm always ready on the right.
Yes, sir, you are. In fact, I'll point out someone real quick. Yesterday I stopped him and I decided I'll have some fun with him. I said, Mr. Senator, how are you? And he stopped me and looked at me. I said, I'm just joking. But then again, I want to see how you'd react if you were a senator. And you start thinking about it, didn't you?
I did. And then I remembered there's a lot of talk and no action in the state Senate and the U.S. Senate. Being a Speaker of the House, Larry, it'd be tough for me to carry on any other role. But you know what, Larry? If I'm ever called to serve, I'll likely answer that call again.
Well, we just have your hoodie and your shorts available. We'll get to that later. Now, so we have Congress on their adjournment. They've adjourned for the weekend. No budget bill passed. And then there are those who are so concerned we're going to run out of money. And others say, let it happen. We'll find out how many we really need and get things straight.
You know, Larry, I've been in those situations before. Either on the city council I used to serve on in my little hometown of Eureka, Missouri, doing budgets, definitely in the state house as the majority leader and the speaker, and on other issues, on substantive issues as well, when you just come to what appears to be a complete and utter impasse on an incredibly complicated issue where you're not only fighting with the folks across the aisle on what is the proper public policy to move forward on, but oftentimes within your own caucus, within your own membership. I had 108 cats to herd when I was Speaker of the House. I don't envy Kevin McCarthy's position where he's got about twice that number. I can only imagine. But you know, Larry, what you always got to do in these situations, what we always did, what I always try to do with my caucus, my leadership team was, all right, take a deep breath, take a step back over this weekend, look at the 35,000 foot, go back to your caucus with a proposal that you think you can get the majority on. Now, he's got very little wiggle room. I had a lot more. I had the benefit of a lot more wiggle room in my time. But when I was a freshman legislator, we were about in the same position he's in. We had a much smaller majority when I started in Missouri in 2007. We had about a 5 or 6 vote majority. And so what you do is, Larry, you try to get the best deal you can get. It's not going to be the perfect deal. It may not even be the best deal under a different situation. But you got to get the best deal you can. And you need to pass that so you can declare victory. It may be a smaller victory than you wanted, but the House has to be able to declare some sort of victory on this and make this the Senate, which is run by Democrats with Chuckie Schumer at the helm, and Joe Biden's White House problem. It needs to stop being their problem, because as long as it still is their problem, the entire corrupt corporate media is going to keep the spotlight shining brightly on them, because that's what they like to do the most.
Well, let's go back to when Trump was president. And it was clear we were not going to be doing any more kick the can down the road. And the first thing they did do is do more deficit spending and say, we're just going to do it for right now so we can get the military budget we need, and then we'll recorrect it later. So there's always a crack in the facade.
Yeah, could not agree with you more. And, you know, a couple of the folks that, you know, you and I speak with often always accuse not the Democrats, not the Republicans, but the Uniparty that happens to be what seems to get their sway most of the time in Washington, D.C. and in some of our state legislatures, you know, kind of an unholy alliance between the governing factions within the moderates or the left-hand side of the aisle. You know, a lot of people think that here in the state of Missouri, that even with a supermajority of Republicans, you unfortunately have a lot of Republicans in name only, a lot of what I call campaign conservatives, and you have basically a center-left governing majority. Yes, even in a big red state like Missouri, because we're a pretty new red state. We've got a lot of Republicans running around, but not a lot of conservatives. The same can be said, Larry, of Washington, D.C. There are plenty of Republicans in the U.S. House. There's arguably a majority, a slim one, but there's not a majority of conservatives. And so Kevin McCarthy is going to have to cobble together basically a parliamentarian style faction, right, of the different multiple parties within the parties, and try to get some kind of governing majority on this. Again, he's got to take there isn't agreement to reach here. And there's a lot of smart people like Budget Chairman Congressman Jody Arrington who have put together some really common sense proposals. But Larry, there's going to have to be enough people on both sides of the aisle that want to for once put politics aside and realize a $33 trillion deficit debt is no longer sustainable.
All right, so here's what Kevin McCarthy did today. He announced he will strip funding for Ukraine, $300 million in the Pentagon appropriations bill. They'll hold a separate vote on that funding, and that supposedly would get him Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene to join conservatives, and they will be able to move forward this next week. $300 million for Ukraine, and at the same time, J.D. Vance, a Republican of Ohio, Chip Roy, a Republican of Texas, a total of 6 senators, 23 housemakers, all sent a letter to the White House Office and Management and Budget and said, basically, we're not going to go forward until we find out answers as to are we closer to victory, what's the strategy, what's the exit plan, and until we get these and others answered, we oppose any additional expenditure. So there's still more than Marjorie Taylor Greene to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Larry, on that Ukrainian point, you know, a lot of times these days, especially, good politics makes good public policy. And Kevin McCarthy, with that move, he would be betting on where the majority of the American people are. If you look at all the polling on this Ukrainian issue, the majority of Americans no longer want to write blank checks to Ukraine. I'm not saying that a majority of Americans don't want to support Ukraine. Right. I believe a majority of Americans do want to support Ukraine.
Right.
I believe a majority of Americans want Ukraine to be an independent, free nation, free of the tyrant Putin. Of course we do. But at what cost, Larry? We're not giving any U.S. funds to Ukraine at this point. We are borrowing money on our credit card, and then we're giving it to Ukraine.
Yeah, but the like, president said he will sign an executive order to give them $24 billion.
Well, that's fine. Then he can be taken back to court again for the umpteenth time and reversed for his ridiculous executive actions, right? He's one of the most litigated against presidents since Obama that we've had in the modern age. So I think that the Ukrainian issue is definitely a flashpoint one that McCarthy is right to say, look, we need to separate that out of this budget talk. If that gets him Marjorie Taylor Greene, it likely comes with a lot of other folks from that kind of Freedom and Liberty Caucus side. And that's that kind of, you know, majority of the majority that I'm talking about that McCarthy's going to have to cobble together. And I hope he's able to do this without going to the Democrats for help.
Well, that would be the key point. Now, before you joined us also, we had Congresswoman from Indiana, Stantz, who is Ukrainian-born, came here to the U.S. in 2000, now is a member of the House. And she said, I've lived under Soviet Union rule. I know what it's like. I know we need less government, not more. And she said, what we're acting at right now, talking about Merrick Garland in particular, the way everything's been handled,
we are KGB all over again.
Larry, I love that comment by the congresswoman. And for all the liberals that want to say that we should bend over backwards and do everything the Ukrainian way, how about listening to that Ukrainian on this, on these issues, right? You know, all these liberals want to do is just write checks and not worry about any sort of accountability on all these foreign wars that we're engaged in. How about we talk about those substantive issues where we're starting to look more like a police state and a totalitarian regime every single day? Larry, the biggest takeaway I think that all of us had from that latest testimony, if we can call it that, from Merrick Garland, some called it perjury in motion. I think the biggest takeaway we can have is that that was exhibit A of the example that we are living in under a country that has two tiers of justice, one for the haves, one for the have nots, one for the powerful elites and the rest for the people.
And one of these non-essential issues, but is making a lot of noise, is John Fetterman, Chuck Schumer saying, okay, yeah, you can wear a hoodie and everything. Senator Joe Manchin, centrist, is sending a resolution around and getting probably about 45-plus senators signing on to say, go back to coat and tie.
Larry, you know, good for Joe Manchin. I'm glad he spoke up. But how about I could even do you one further. Our good friend to the east here in the People's Republic of Illinois, Dick Durbin, of all people, one of the most liberal, progressive senators, right, from the once mighty land of Lincoln, even he believes that this lack of decorum is not the direction to send. How about that, Larry? Maybe hope is springing eternal and America is finally waking up and stop being woke. And we're starting to say that, yeah, you know what? Having certain traditions and customs, it's not racist. It's not misogynistic. It's not paternalistic. It's actually a great way to run a railroad and a country.
All right. I've got time for you. Give me a 20-second answer here. Cruz is predicting what's going to happen now. Democrats could parachute Michelle Obama in as a nominee.
You know, that talk's been around for quite a long time.
Right.
I do think that's why you're seeing some of these attacks against Obama. Tucker had that very interesting interview a few weeks ago. I think Michelle Obama is definitely someone that we should keep an eye on. It could be their only savior riding into the rescue.
All right. Tim, as always, I appreciate it, Speaker, and we always enjoy following you. You set us up perfectly every day.
Larry, thank you so much. Continue to have a great show.
Thank you. You and Christopher Arps as well. Again, Speaker Tim Jones and Christopher Arps on the way on just before we come on air, and glad to have them. Coming up, we've got another indictment against someone, and he had advised his wife, do not text, do not email. Uh-oh, stand by, please. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
See the ways of this world just bring you to tears. Keep the Lord in your heart and you'll have nothing to fear. Live the best that you can and don't lie. fast on and out of the pills. Well, Daddy, I've been trying. I just can't catch a break. There's too much in this world I can't seem to shake.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, here we are once again with Senator Bob Menendez, a Democrat in New Jersey, facing prosecution. Now, he has been down this road before, but he got found not guilty the first time, so this is not double jeopardy. These are new charges. It's almost like they held him aside saying, just in case we lose that one, keep this one ready. You got to listen to some of the tales of this. This is pretty amazing. Now, again, as always, we remind you, innocent until proven guilty, not the other way around, guilty until proven innocent, innocent until proven guilty. But some of the allegations already being made are very interesting. Now, keep in mind, Menendez is chairman of the Senate Relations Committee. He was in a position to make a lot of money at different times, which brings us to another guy that is accused, suspected, but there's no direct tie at this point between him. That would be Joe Biden when he was vice president and then afterwards and now being president. And he's kept son Hunter right beside him. I want you to take a moment and think for a second. It's a father-son relationship. First, in the beginning, a young boy is born, and he loves his child. Of course, he loved Bo as well, and Bo served honorably. Then came down to cancer. Hunter was a crackpot doing everything stupid, the black sheep of the family. But he's still a son. Didn't disown him. But members of the White House have said, you need to separate yourself from him. He's been reluctant to do so, but the more this stuff is piling up, the more he has to kind of, maybe they're right. And Hunter, to be quite honest, should separate himself, protect his dad. I know of a case, and I'm not going to get into great detail. Some of you probably know the characters involved. And by characters, I don't mean to be dissing them, but I'm just talking about the people involved. Of an elderly gentleman who was facing some very serious federal charges. And for him to go to jail and serve the charges that were being leveled against him if he was convicted, and more than likely he would be, his son, much junior, decided to plead guilty some things to keep daddy from going to jail. Said, I'll do this if you let him off. That's a sacrifice of love. The son was not innocent of what he was pleading guilty to, but he could have fought it, but he knew the best thing for my dad is to step out in front and be sacrificial. Hunter's not doing that, and I would not expect him to. And Joe doesn't really want to cut him loose and has made a point that he is one of my major advisors, which might give Hunter cover when it comes to trial, saying I'm a member of the White House staff, basically. Not, but again, he could do that. And, of course, even if Hunter does it, as long as he's president, he can pardon him. So if it's going to happen, it should happen quickly, while Joe has still the ability to lift a pen and take a breath. But now Senator Menendez based this case, much of it, upon what they've had in text between his wife, Nadine, and co-defendants. Among the more incriminating details in this indictment, text that Nadine Menendez sent her husband complaining about missing payments from a New Jersey man, and prosecutors say that guy was benefiting financially from owning a company that received a monopoly from Egypt to certify American meat exports to the country.
Nadine texts, I am so upset. Well, of course, prosecutors got hold of that. And they were looking at how Menendez had influence over U.S. Egyptian policy and U.S. arms to Egypt. She had continued her text, I thought about everything that happened, especially last Saturday and that week, referring to meetings that he had had with senior Egyptian officials, that at least he would honor his word one time. I don't know if I should text, name someone else, or wait, what should I do? And his response, no, you should not text or email. In other words, don't put anything in writing. That's the first law of defense. Don't do anything in writing. They were part of a 39-page indictment that were prosecutors were filing against Menendez, his wife, and four others. Of course, he proclaimed his innocence immediately today, saying, I've been falsely accused before because I refused to back down to powers that be, and the people in New Jersey able to see through the smoke and mirrors and recognize I was innocent. I almost need to bring in Vic Percelli about this. Hey, what about them people in New Jersey? They do that, don't you, Vic? Do they do that? Yeah, he'd probably answer. Anyway, in this case, the indictment claims Menendez deleted texts and emails to hide it. Well, listen, once they're sent, you don't really hide them. So they claim that Menendez secretly edited and ghostwrote a requested letter lobbying other senators to support U.S. aid, and then using his personal email account from his wife to do it. So they were trying to cover their tracks at that point. Some of this involves that he intervened on behalf of someone to get a $60,000 Mercedes-Benz C300 convertible. Well, now we know already what he is, a prostitute. Now we know the price, right? They also say that they found, when they went into their place, they found bars of gold stuck in different coat jackets. Bars of gold in the house, money stuffed into jackets. I do that myself all the time, by the way. If you ever raid me or rob me, you're going to find pounds of gold in different jackets and money, and I don't know where half of it is. So I'm living poor because I can't find it. I'm joking. All right, let's take a turn to another subject that we're going to be facing again. COVID is going to be with us forever. Do you understand that? It's going to be here forever and ever and ever. And the Biden administration is trying to figure out how we're going to get them to get the jab this time. Because, as my guest yesterday on his book has written, do not comply. That doesn't mean just to the vaccine, but do not comply to any orders given that you disagree with simply because they're manufactured by powers that be. Now, I'm not advising you not to get a vaccine. That is between you and your doctor and your family. So do not take what I say as this is my directive to you, because my directive is do what you choose to do. But we have documented numerous cases before of especially young men getting myocarditis, the lining of the heart enlarging. We had numerous mysterious deaths of young men in good health. Why would that be? Why would we make children get the shots when they were not considered really that susceptible to COVID? Why were we making our military, even the Navy SEALs, some of our highest trained, get the shots? Because we said they had to. And, of course, they fought it, one on religious grounds, and also fought it on the basis, I don't need it. But this is going to be something that's going to be coming to your house if you want it. The Biden administration, once again, offering households free coronavirus testing kits through the mail just in time for the 2024 primaries. That's going to become a campaign speech. You do know that. I sent out all these test kits to help you guys to test yourself. It's going to cost something like $600 million. You can either order 4 free testing kits beginning Monday, September the 25th, next Monday. I'll go to the website and do it there as well. And the Department of Health and Human Services says, critical investments to strengthen our nation's production levels. In the past, you didn't really get, well, maybe you did get free at some point, but this is not the first time they were sent free. They did do it in 2022 as well, but they ran out of them, then they kind of had to back off. Now they've got them all set up, ready to go again. But what else is coming, as I said, in addition to the COVID test? That would be an election. And an election means maybe we're also going to need to restart COVID hysteria, more lockdowns, more censorship, more illegal drop boxes, more mail-in ballots. Are you ready for all of that to follow? Let me tell you something. That disease itself, in many cases, can be worse than COVID. It won't kill you right away, but it's a death by a thousand cuts if the Democrats get to continue their way of jamming up boxes and faking. That's why I was glad to hear the congresswoman who originally born in Ukraine asking the attorney general, will our elections be fair? Will you make sure that no illegals are voting? Yes, yes. He gave two answers. Solid answer. Didn't quibble. Which really makes me suspect. Now, another thing we have to deal with is you're going to take your kids to movies from time to time, or you're going to turn on the TV. You have to be so careful. There was a time we didn't have ratings at all on movies. And parents would be shocked to find out what they are once they got in with their kids. We're at a time now where if a PG-13 movie is showing on the movie screen, they're not even allowed to show trailers for movies that are rated above PG-13. And then we have the total mess with Disney. I'm reading this as written by Breitbart, so they've got their twist on it. I try to give you the source every time, not trying to hide it. I'm not claiming credit for this. There's a thin line between credit and blame, but in this case, I tend to side with a lot of it. It writes out, Bob Iger, CEO of the Disney Grooming Syndicate, told nervous investors yesterday he intends to quiet the noise in the culture wars. Disney CEO telling investors the company will quiet the noise and has been pitting social conservatives against the global media and entertainment conglomerate. That's who he was telling analysts yesterday. Now, analysts pay very close attention to the words of a CEO and the direction the company is headed because they then in turn advise their people how to buy or sell and at what prices. It was a brief statement in an analyst report filed by a media analyst that took part in the meeting. He said, Iger said that Disney will, quote, double its investment in theme parks and cruise ships over the next decade. Pointing out that already they're struggling to make streaming business profitable, improve the quality of films, flagship and its sports brand ESPN, streaming directly to consumers, shedding television networks, which are in the process of doing. They're selling to a guy named Allen. His last name is Allen. One of the owners of our station is Allen, and I let him know that he's on vacation. When he gets in, he's going to see it. And I say, you're buying, you know, ABC Network, and you're not doing anything. Of course, wrong, Alan, but it'll be fast to get my face over that one. Anyway, according to this article, Will this mean Disney will stop employing creepy male transvestites to greet children at theme parks? I would say no. Does this mean the Disney Channel will stop pushing obscene transsexual propaganda that promotes surgical mutilation? Again, I would say no. Does this mean Disney Animation and Pixar will stop stealing the innocence of children, exposing them to adult sexuality, including homosexuality, transsexuality, and drag queens? I have to again answer no. Another question. Does this mean Marvel and Lucasfilm will stop woke raping our children and our children heroes so they can be replaced with dull, perfect, sexless girl bosses? Now, I have a problem there with that question. I don't know what you mean by girl. What's a girl? I mean, we got a Supreme Court justice can't identify what a woman is. He goes on to say, Disney started this fight. Everything was nice and normal at Disney. Disney making more money than it knew what to do with it, and then sold its soul to the leftist LGBTQRSTUVWXYZDEI cult. That's where he wrote it. He said, now we're just going to try to do something to quiet the noise. He adds, Disney wants your children damaged, confused, neurotic, hypersexed. Disney is pure evil, has not repented. It's lying. Watch, my friend, watch. You make your judgment for you and your family. As always, I thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.